I'm Amanda, and this is Not Your Granny's Quilt Show. Hello, and welcome to today's episode. It's going to be a special QuiltCon recap, so if you're interested in hearing my two cents about my experience, then this is the episode for you. That being said, I'm going to plug Patreon because we've gotten a few new members, and so that's really exciting. But you can support the show whether you pay or not, as long as you become a patron. So head over to patreon.com/notyourgrannysquiltshow to become a patron. Also, merch. Hello, it's all still there. I love all of it so much. I'm still waiting on my new Good Enough t-shirt. That's right. Just like the mug, we made a t-shirt that says Good Enough on it. And we're trying a new way to not have the bright pink giant logo on everything. So I'm going to be working on new designs. And anyway, but what's in there, I love so much. If you saw me at QuiltCon, you saw me in my merch. And let me tell you what, I love it so much. It's all so comfortable. And I have been so happy with every single thing, every product. I get to hand pick everything. So that way we make sure that the quality is there for you. So head on over to nygqs.printify.me to check out the merch today. Links are below. The other really exciting thing I want to talk about before we get into me babbling is that I am here to support Carly Porter's 10-year anniversary class of her graffiti quilting. It's so exciting. She's revamped the book. She's added so much more content. So it went from about 90 pages to almost 300. The only way to get the book is to take the class. I'm taking it and I'm so excited. So if you want to sign up with early bird pricing, you can today, well, for the month of March, head to carlyporter.com, sign up for the class, and don't forget to use code NYGQS25 to receive an extra $25 off of your already discounted class purchase. So get over there today, sign up for the graffiti quilting class, and let's learn how to free motion graffiti quilt together. And now on to the show. All right, so QuiltCon, here we go. I mean, to say I was excited to go is an understatement. I've been trying to record this episode for a couple of days now, and I have really been struggling to put my experience into words. I just think, like, overwhelming is one word that pops into my mind. Exciting. I was so excited to be there. But also there were points that were a little disappointing, and that's okay. I think everything has, you know, ebbs and flows, ups and downs. So I think it's important to me to acknowledge all of it, the good and the bad. And I shouldn't qualify it with good and bad. It was just like, yeah, there just were moments where I felt a little bit disappointed or a little bit let down. And that's okay. Like, that's life, right? So anyway, I'm going to try to be as chronological as possible without rambling as much as possible. We left super early. So my mom went with me, in case you weren't aware. There's a lot of new of you here. A lot of new of you. There's a lot of new listeners here. And so welcome to the chaos of this show. So if you didn't know, my mom and I have our quilting business together, Sweet Pea Design Company. We make custom quilts for clients that just don't know how to quilt or want us to help them create a vision that they have in their heads. And then we also long arm, and we'll do some other sewing projects, but mostly we stick to quilting. So anyway, so she and I went as Sweet Pea Design Company, but obviously with the podcast, like, I know so many people, or I've met so many of you because of the podcast. So I kind of was like, well, I definitely want to make sure to show up as me, Amanda, Not Your Granny's Quilt Show, right? So anyway, so my mom and I left Boise super early Wednesday morning. And our plan was to try to get to Raleigh earlier in the evening so that we'd have time to run to the convention and get checked in and not have to worry about it the next morning. But that didn't work out. So we kind of just got settled in our hotel and just kind of tried to make a game plan for the next day. Like, okay, how early should we leave? You know, all that stuff. We were walking from our hotels, so we wanted to make sure we had plenty of time to walk the mile, which we love walking. We're both walkers. And so that next morning we got ready to go. I stacked a ton of bracelets on my wrists and stuffed all the stickers in my BFF bag. And we set out for QuiltCon. But I did stop almost immediately because on the side of our hotel, there was a big mural on the wall that says "Burn Bright, Soar High." And so of course I was like, I need a picture in front of this thing. So I made my mom take my picture. Anyway, so then we started walking towards the convention, and the blocks like all around the convention center had all these like banners, these QuiltCon banners up, and like, "We welcome you to Raleigh." And it just felt so exciting and so welcoming because it was like the whole downtown was like, "Hey, we're so happy you're here," which was great. Yeah, so we got in and we walked around the entire building because I was like, "Oh, I think the entrance was on this side," because I was all turned around. And it was actually, if we had like where we decided to go right, if we had just gone left, we would have found the front doors like immediately. But anyway, so we went in, and the main kind of entrance was where they were just like bringing people in. If you went up the stairs from there, then that's where you got to like the ballroom areas where they were having the lectures. And then, but then if you stayed on that main floor or the entrance floor, that's where some of the classrooms were for the classes. And then from there, you had to go down two flights of stairs, I think, to get to the level, the mezzanine level, which is where they had all the ticketing and check-in and all that. So we got in line to check in, we got our badges, and they were like, "Oh, you want a goodie bag?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" They're like, "Oh, you just go over, you know, over there by coat check and you pick up your goodie bag." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" Well, I wasn't aware that they were just like randomly choosing attendees to get a swag bag full of stuff. And my mom and I both got one, which was so lucky, right? Anyway, it's a cute canvas. It was a cute canvas ruby star tote that, you know, on one side had the ruby, their logo, and it said "You're a gem" on it. And then on the other side was the design that they had for QuiltCon, which was just like a grid of spools. So cute. And so that was kind of like, okay, great. Like, I already had my backpack, and then we both ended up with these totes that were already full of stuff like fabric and snips and, you know, thread and tags and stickers. And it was crazy how much stuff was in there. But anyway, so we were just kind of waiting around for the doors to open because we went early at like 9 o'clock and the doors didn't open till 10. And we kind of saw this line starting to form on the stairs that you come down to get to that level from where you enter. And I was like, "Oh, what are these people in line for?" And my mom and I were just kind of looking. And thankfully, we saw Vicady of Sospicious. She was with her friend, now our friend, Deidre of Lila Bean Quilts. So hi, Deidre. Shout out. Hi, Vicady. So that was really fun. We got to just chat with them and hang out. And yeah, the line was just like getting really long. And it wasn't computing in my brain that that was the line to get in because there were just so many people. And I guess I didn't really realize until later on that up at that point, they had estimated they had about 10,000 attendees. But at the end of QuiltCon, they ended up having somewhere around 15,000 attendees, with the addition of like the single day tickets that people were buying. Anyway, so yeah, the doors opened, that line just started streaming down the stairs and going into the vendor and quilt show area, which was all on its own floor. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like, it's the lowest floor in the building, but you had to go through these big main doors and then go down either the elevator or the escalators to get down to that floor. And then it was just like a big open area. And on the left was the quilt show, and on the right was all the vendor booths. So They had the Best in Show quilt front and center as you came down the escalator, and some of the other top winners, other ribbon winners, they were just out in their category areas. But we beelined it for a vendor hall because I was like, I need to find the Ruby Star booth or I'm going to die. So, and I also knew like there were people around that I wanted to see. So I was like, I need to be where the people are, like Ariel would tell you. So we walked around a bit and I don't have like a ton of pictures. And so if my order of events is scattered, like you'll never know, right? Because you're not me. But anyway, so we did go end up at the Ruby Star booth because we wanted to write postcards, and they were their make and take in their booth was making applique embellishments. And so, you know, my mom's like, oh, I'm just going to do my goodie tote. And I had taken a denim jacket with me to add things onto the back of. So we got over there, we did some postcards. They're so cute. And I wrote some to my besties and I wrote some to strangers. And I wanted to do more. I just didn't get back to it. But anyway, I met Melody Miller and I was fangirling so hard. She's so sweet. And I was just like, I don't want to freak her out. And, but we took a picture together. So that was really fun. And then, after we wrote some postcards and just kind of hung out and were talking to people who were already in line and seeing a couple people, we decided to just get in line. Cause I was like, I'm not going to be able to think about anything else in my life if I don't get in this line right now, because Sarah Watts was in there. Alexia was in there. I didn't see Jen Hewitt, but I could have just been like laser focused on Sarah because, you know, we all love Ruby Star, but then we have our like favorite designers within Ruby Star. And Sarah is probably mine. So not probably, she is. I don't know if you guys, if you're new here, you don't know this, but those of you who have been around, you know, I've been obsessing about, or just like really focusing on trying to manifest getting Sarah to be on the show. And she said she would after I met her. So that was pretty great. Anyway, so we waited in that line for like 2 hours, which that killed my feet. And it sucked because you're just on concrete floor. But at the same time, like everybody in line was like so nice. And it was like where people were gravitating towards. So I just ended up seeing a bunch of people, which was great. We just stood in line. And then I shopped because why not? We have to. And we had decided we were going to get some of Sarah's art prints to frame and hang in the studio. So that was fun. I grabbed a bunch of stickers and some other little gifty things. And just wanted things to commemorate that I got to buy some of my favorite stuff from some of my favorite people out there in the quilty world. So that was really exciting. Once we got done with the line, I think we went around to some of the other booths. I literally like my brain is drawing a blank because I was just so much. I think we went up and out of the area. I don't even know. I literally don't know. I do know that we swung around to the Moda booth because I wanted to see the Dolly Parton quilt that Jesse was displaying and just the cuteness of the whole entire booth. So there was the pixelated Dolly Parton quilt, and then they had a cute photo wall that in disco ball letters said, Moda will always love you. And they just had like a cute shelf displayed with like a bunch of themed tchotchke accessories. And then also things you could purchase like pins that said, howdy, howdy, howdy. One of the quilts next to Dolly was the pink background with the orange letters that spelled out or said, howdy, 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 like, you know, in a row, in a column. I don't know. One on top of the other. Yeah, the first day was just like a whirlwind, and I wish I would have taken better pictures or more pictures, because I think I tend to get overwhelmed and then I black out, like my anxiety takes over and I don't remember things. So if I'm forgetting anything, or anyone. I'm so sorry. It's absolutely not my intention. But anyway, so once it was like close, we waited until it closed up, and then Free Spirit Fabrics was hosting a social hour afterwards up in the mezzanine level. So we went up there and you could play, they call it fabric pong. I didn't sink a single ball, but they still let me take a fat quarter. And my mom did immediately on her first try. Michelle, why are you so good at beer pong? And so that was fun because they had all different, Free Spirit designers. I obviously grabbed some Tula, and I think my mom ended up getting Tula, the teacups. I got the moths. Beautiful with the teal background. Okay. Anyway, I don't drink. So being at a cocktail social hour thing didn't really appeal to me because I'm not going to drink. So why? Anyway. but we found a delicious restaurant right across the way from the convention called Element Plant-Based Eatery or something like that. And because I'm mostly plant-based, because of a million thousand food allergies, it was a sight for sore eyes. I was kind of nervous that we wouldn't find anything. But I got to have a full hearty meal thanks to that place. And the chef was amazing because beyond eggs and dairy, I also can't have oats or mushrooms, which is what a lot of vegan and plant-based companies or chefs put in place of meat, and they use oat milk or whatever. And so she came out and talked to me specifically to understand my needs, and she helped me know what I could and couldn't eat and what was safe and how I could, if I was wanting something specific, how I could make that safe for me to eat. So I really, being in an unknown city in an unknown area is really tricky when you've got food sensitivities and allergies. And so that just really meant a lot to me, which is why I'm talking about it, because if you get to know me in any capacity in person or even over this podcast, it is something I have to think about constantly. It's if I eat something that is on my list of no-nos, I immediately break out in eczema, whether it's on my all over my hands, my eyelids, it'll make my whole face break out. Or I start to, get an itchy mouth, whatever. It's always a worry I have. And so to be in a place where I didn't have to worry was the most refreshing thing in the entire world. Anyway, loved it. It was delicious. And then we walked back to our hotel and emptied our goodie bags because we wanted to be able to lay out all the things that we received to just know what was even in there, because there was so much stuff. I want to just explain to you. So I had paid extra for at registration for the QuiltCon t-shirt and fanny pack. So the merch pack. And it's cute. I'll probably use the fanny pack. I'm not a huge fan of the shirt, but it's fine. It's commemorative. I have, band t-shirts and that kind of thing that will eventually be turned into a quilt. So this will probably just go into that stack of shirts. But anyway, so looking at the photo, like I mentioned, the Ruby Star design for QuiltCon was kind of a grid of thread spools, and the notebook that they put in the bags had that design on the front with some little daisies and a pair of scissors off the side, looking like it's about to snip some of the thread off of one of the spools. We got an Aurifil product card so you could see all the different types of threads, different weights and styles. There was a card from Moda that had a disco ball sticker on it, and it has the howdy, howdy, howdy on it. And then on the other side is actually kind of their catalog update of some of the solids that are coming out, the cozies and the brights. They're so cute. We got a free Elizabeth Hartman pattern. The sunshine one looks like little ducks with tulips coming out of their backs. So cute. Two different tape measures, a quick knife, which I don't know, they're like a little disc with like a little thumb slidey, and when you push it with push the slidey thing with your thumb, a little sharp blade comes out. Dangerous, right? From Sarah Hartz, we got a North Carolina state flower tag. I can't remember what it flowered is, but it's a little white four-petal flower. It's so cute. We got some cute quilty tags from Sewtopia. Another cool embroidery pattern. The Fat Quarterly magazine. The American Patchwork Quilting magazine. Some stickers from some... I can't read it. Anyway, we got a charm pack of the Ruby and Bee solids, which is so nice. We got about half of a charm pack of some Figo fabrics, and we got a few squares of some Benertex fabrics, which are so cute. We got a piece of like a fat quarter from the Bernina booth. What else? The snips came from the booth that had all the cork. Oh, what was that guy's name? I think Threaded Lines. Yeah, Threaded Lines Quilt Shop. We got a little kit of a couple of like woven fabrics with a sashiko needle and some thread to try out some hand embroidery. We got a needle minder from Ollie Fabrics and a leaf sticker. We got a pencil from Crimson Tate and a sticker. What else? Anyway, it was just like a lot. Oh, a little trial, size soak, gentle laundry soap, which is, we love that stuff. Anyway, so yeah, it was just like chock full of stuff, which was so fun. And we were grateful to not have to carry that with us the next day, because that literally was like, it was tiring carrying that weight around, because it was like I already had my backpack, I had my fanny pack on full of stickers, and I passed them out to anybody who would take them, and bracelets, of course. And then we had, you know, what we bought from Ruby Star, and we had the bags. Anyway, it was a lot. So it was just kind of like, okay, tomorrow we don't have to carry any of that stuff. We can just have our necessities. And so that was great. So yeah, like that first day was just like so overwhelming. We got back to the hotel and we both were just like, oh my God, what happened? You know, like we were just exhausted, and we're, you know, that's a 2-hour difference for us. So it's, even though like the timing, you know, it seemed later there, but it should have been earlier at home. We both were like, oh my gosh, is it midnight? No, it's only 9 p.m. Like, I don't know. The time change was just so weird for both of us, but we both conked out that night and just slept like the dead. And then the next morning it was pouring rain, which was lovely. So thankfully we had rented a car. So we got ready, pulled our hair back, and drove the car and parked near the convention in one of the garages, and went to the sticker swap that was hosted by Peggy of Peggy Made DIY. I think she hosted it last year also, but anyway, so that was really fun. I got to drop off some stickers, hand some stickers out in person, trade some bracelets. We contributed to the bags that Peggy put together to give away to people who weren't able to come to QuiltCon, which was really sweet of her. And then we just sat and chatted. We had the Mod Squad there. They were all just so lovely. We had Rachel Ivy Clark. There were a couple different Michelles, which was fun because my mom is a Michelle. And so having a gaggle of Michelles was a good time. We had a lecture we wanted to attend. So when we left the sticker swap, we ran in and headed to the lecture titled We Need to Talk About Bertha, by Mary Fonz. And Bertha, I'm reading this, Bertha Mextroth was an artist with quilts. She tried to become a sculptor and that didn't work out for her, but then she realized that quilting is just sculpture with fabric. So she did a lot of reverse applique. She put a lot of like religious themes into her quilting, Aramaic text, crosses, bats. She made nearly 200 quilts. Anyway, it was just so crazy, but she ended up dying old And even though she had tons of money and set money aside, like because she didn't have an executor of her will, and the bank was like, we just want her money, essentially. Her request to keep her works together and be put into some kind of memorial or museum of sorts was completely ignored, and her quilts were scattered in the wind. So Mary Fonz has taken it upon herself to track down as many of these missing quilts as she can, and she's found several, which is great, but just they're all over the place because the bank ignored her because she was a woman with no heirs and no executor to her will. So that should be a lesson to all of us to make a will and have an executor so that our wishes are met. Anyway, it was really great. Mary did a fantastic job. I was enthralled the entire time. She's a great storyteller. It was just really nice. It was about an hour, and it was just nice to kind of sit and listen and watch, her beautiful slideshow that she had put together with images of Bertha's quilts and just the artistry that went into them. So if you have time, check out Bertha Meckstroth's work. It was incredible. So after that, we went down onto back down onto the vendor floor. We ran into people right away. It was great. I saw Brooke, I saw Lilo, I saw Barbie, I saw Fran and Christina, and who else? I met Mr. Bones in person, and Kim, his handler. I'm just kidding, Kim. So that was really fun. She was working in the Figo booth, and they were doing like a make your own bow kit. So we got to pick the fabric we wanted, the type of attachment that we wanted. So some were like keychains, some were hair barrettes and clips. Anyway, and then the little chop like beads or sequins or something things that you wanted to attach to your bows. And then they just put it all in a little bag for you and with the instructions and got to take it away. So that was kind of nice because like I liked the idea of make and takes, but every time I passed a table that I wanted to do something at, it was like everybody was crowded around. It's like you 12 chairs in one booth when there's literally 10,000 people in a building. It's like I know they didn't have the space to have more people, but it still was like every make and take was full the entire time until the very last, well, Saturday, towards the end of the day on Saturday. I finally got to sit down at String and Story and make a scrunchie. It was great and so fun. So thank you for that. But anyway, so then we started to shop a little. We were, going through more of the vendor booths. We had decided on a like path to go through. And as we were kind of at this in the Sotopia area, kind of also going back towards Ruby Star, because that's kind of where everybody just congregated. I saw Jessie. Her Instagram handle is Inside the Paper Box. She was one of the makers of the Moda Dolly Parton quilt, but she had on a denim jacket that has Harry Styles on the back that she collage quilted his face onto her jacket, and RIP me. Rip me, I'm dead, I'm dying, I'm dead. So I had to go take a picture. And that's when I saw Fran, and that's when I saw Christina, Kindred Quilt Co. And that's when I saw Tara. Well, I think maybe I saw her the day before, but I didn't get a picture. So seeing her again, I was like, we need a picture. And then that's when I saw Carly, which was so fun. And like, I love meeting people that the people that I've interviewed in person, because it's like you think you vibe with somebody and you're like, yeah, I think we're friends and we've been in contact or whatever, but like meeting them in person, it's like the vibes were immaculate. So, ugh, I'm so excited that was for real and not just me making it up on the internet. Anyway, and then I saw Sarah from Sarah Made, and that was really great. And so I think we did we stand in Ruby Star again? No. We shopped around some more and looked at some other booths, and then again it was like close to closing because we had done the lecture, so that kind of carried our time. And then at the social that was hosted by Long Arm League that evening, I saw Emily from Peach and Honey Studio, and that was really fun. Again, immaculate vibes. I met Chris Marchini in person of Rose City Originals. Also, I'm very sorry to Chris. I've been pronouncing his last name wrong. So Chris, I apologize, and I will never say it wrong again now that I know. And then Orlando of Quiltysaurus, I had seen him on the first day, but he was running in and out of classes, and so we didn't get a picture. So I finally was like, okay, we're taking a picture. Hi, Orlando. And then Emily, her sister Amy, Lisa of Lovering Quilt Co., and then a couple other ladies who I didn't officially meet, and I'm so sorry. But we all went to dinner, which was super fun. And again, super exhausted. Mom and I passed out when we got back to the hotel. And thankfully, the rain had stopped. So the next day was actually like pretty sunny and nice for most of it. And then we were like, okay, Saturday's our last day because we were driving to visit my younger brother who lives out there for the rest of the weekend and into the week. So we're like, we really got to get in everything on Saturday. So we headed over, grabbed some Starbucks on our way in. And took some pictures with the, you know, very Raleigh specific things. So the giant acorn that was in the convention plaza area where the hotels and stuff are. And then the giant letters outside of in front of the convention building that spell out Raleigh. And then I took a picture of Sir Walter Raleigh, the statue, because QuiltCon had draped a quilted something shawl maybe around his arm, like looped it around and tied it so that he had a quilty flare while QuiltCon was in town. So that was really fun to just get those photos while the sun was out. And then I got back in line at Ruby Star because I needed to purchase a couple more things. And then we did the quilt show. And I wish we would have broken it up. That's like one thing. Two major pieces of advice is definitely wear the comfortable shoes. Like, don't try to be cute. It doesn't matter because your feet will kill you at the end of the day, whether you're wearing your most comfortable shoes or not, but it will mitigate the damage if you're wearing like really good walking shoes and alternate shoes. So I wore one pair, like my long distance walking shoes, my Ultras on the first day. And then the next day I switched to my Reeboks that are my normal gym shoes, but they're worn in and super comfortable. So, that really helped save my back and my feet. Like they'd be tired at the end of the day, but the next day I could get up and walk around and they didn't hurt. So that was really great. Anyway, and then break up the quilt show. There are so many quilts hanging in the show that trying to cram them all into one day was like major brain overload. So that is my, like, those two things and drink water. That was, I forgot to drink water so much. Anyway, so we went into the show. We had already on the first day, you know, because like I said, when you come down the escalator, you see Best in Show was front and center. And then the Excellence Award, the Original Modern Design, Best Machine Quilting, and Best Hand Quilting were all right there in the front. So we got to get a look at those right off the bat. First day, we walked around them. And then Jackie Gehring was the featured lecturer and exhibit for the show this year in 2024. And if you don't know who she is, she's synonymous with modern quilting. She's written the books called Walk and Walk 2.0, which teach you how to quilt on your domestic machine with a walking foot. Anyway, her exhibit was phenomenal. Very powerful quilts, very powerful art. And I'm so grateful I got to see that. It was incredible. So we had gone through that kind of section, that front area on day one before we were like, okay, vendor hall. So we kind of skipped those again because we're like, we've already seen them. Also why we should have broken it up is that Saturday was so busy. I think it was the busiest day because that's when all the, like, you know, one day people came. Anyway, so it was just really crowded and it was really hard, which is part of the reason why I don't have as many pictures as I want, because I just didn't feel like fighting the crowd to take a picture. Because even when I would like get poised and ready to take a picture, somebody inevitably just like walked right in front of me, and I just got tired of it. So I stopped trying. Anyway, so, you know, we wandered through and kind of, but yeah, I'm not going to talk through every single quilt that I loved. I might do a couple of posts on Instagram so I can share the ones that really like spoke to me, because I took pictures of the ones that really grabbed me. And of course, if I knew who the maker was, I took pictures. But I think this is where also I got disappointed. So I had mentioned in the beginning that with the excitement and with the joy of being there and the joy of finally meeting so many people in person that I've only spoken with online, there was a little bit of disappointment, and part of it was in the quilt show. It wasn't the quilts. The quilts were amazing, and the artistry and thoughtfulness of the pieces was just so inspirational and so awe-inspiring. And I truly, truly mean it when I say, like, I have nothing but respect for all of the quilts that were in the show. The thing that disappointed me was I was like thinking, oh, we're in the modern quilt guild. This is a modern show. So surely everyone in here can appreciate that and understand that modern quilting doesn't necessarily follow traditional rules. Duh, right? That's modern by definition. So hearing little comments from show attendees that like, well, if they had just used, you know, yellow in this spot, then this quilt would have been worth hanging. Like, are you fucking serious? This quilt is hanging in this show. It was chosen to hang in this show. And because you decided you wanted yellow in it, doesn't make it, like, I just couldn't. You can have an opinion, but it doesn't mean it's valuable. Ugh, anyway. And then also just the idea that like people were pissed that there were some quilts that were calling out political bullshit, like gun violence and women losing rights over making decisions about their own bodies. And that was really disappointing too. That like, and like, it was kind of not funny, haha, but you know, the other kind of funny, because when with Tara's episode, we kind of got into that idea that like, it is so ingrained in our way of life that women undervalue themselves constantly because of how we've been conditioned to do so. And so even looking at quilt makers looking at other people's quilts were making these super judgy, nasty comments about how there should just be pretty quilts, or that the MQG has a political agenda and they're just proving it by choosing the quilts that they chose. And I'm just like so annoyed by it. I'm so annoyed by the fact that people cannot equate like paintings and murals and other types of art, performance art, all that with also quilting, that quilting isn't included in that in people's brains. And so art, whatever medium it is a way to express ideas and feelings and beliefs and things that are inside that don't necessarily come out in words. So yeah, of course there's going to be some political stuff, because it's really scary out there right now for a lot of people. And if it's not affecting you, quote unquote, affecting you in any way, then you're probably just being ignorant to what is actually happening to the people around you, to you, to your own town, to our country. And I know I'm kind of getting political soapboxy here, but like, it's terrifying. And so the fact that people felt compelled to make art, to make these exquisite quilts, to express that is just chef's kiss. Thank you so much for using this medium to make meaningful things, not just pretty art, not just pretty things to hang on your wall or put on your lap while you're watching TV or whatever. Quilts are important. They keep us warm. They help us share love. They are also an expression of what's inside of us. And if that means that you're expressing your frustration about something that's going on in the world, then fucking do it. That's what art is there for. So that's my two cents. Anyway, and you'll see in my posts, there were a handful of the quilts that were politically leaning, and I loved them. I was grateful to see them, and I felt seen and heard by them. And I think that is also a point of making art, is that it connects us on a soul level, on a spiritual level, that words maybe can't. And so seeing someone else's artistic expression of the shit that teachers have to think about when they're in their classrooms, of like, what could I use to help deter a shooter from killing me and my students? Best in Show, right there. That was her quilt. Jenny Robinson is a teacher, and she asked other teachers, hey, what do you have in your classroom? What kind of school supplies do you have around that you could use as a weapon against a shooter? And so all the images that are appliqued onto the front side of that quilt are things that teachers said that they would use to try to keep a shooter from killing them and their students. So, like, if that is like politically motivated, if you can't see past the bullshit of the lack of gun laws in this country and the danger that it puts all of us in, and get snarky about someone's quilt about it, then like, you need a reality check, my friend. Like, go look in the mirror real hard. And I'm getting emotional about it because I was a teacher. And a huge reason I left teaching was because my body could not handle the anxiety that I felt whenever I thought about the fact that I might have to become a human shield while I'm just trying to teach my kids how to do fucking multiplication. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, that quilt was meaningful to me. It really, I couldn't look at it too long because I started getting emotional. Like, I started getting really teared up. And I think just that the emotion of feeling seen is so deep. And if you don't feel seen or you don't feel represented by a piece of art, that's okay. It doesn't mean that you have to talk negatively about it, though. And yeah, it's politically motivated because we have politicians who willfully ignore the violence that occurs constantly when it comes to guns and access to guns, and arguing whether a bump stock creates an automatic or a machine gun. Yeah, it does. That's the whole point. Like, anyway, I don't want to get too deep into this. I've already gone pretty far, but I just felt disappointed that people felt high and mighty enough that they could be judgy towards these quilts. Like, I love that quilt shows allow people to show their quilts and represent themselves and present the work that they've lovingly put hours and hours into. But I also hate the judgy aspects of it. Like, it's so fun to win ribbons, and I'm sure that the accolades feel great. And I've kind of talked about this before in relationship to quilt shows, but I don't know. I just think it's hard to judge that, like, art critics, and I don't know. It just, none of it makes any real good sense in my brain. So I struggle with that. But anyway, so yeah, there were a handful of other quilts that had themes of, you know, pointing at the gun violence in America. Jackie Gehring had some quilts in her collection that were of that ilk, and there are a couple others hanging out in the show floor. The GTFO quilt, if you're not familiar with it, it just says, you know, it's rows of the letters GTFO, and you know, it's pointing at the removal of rights for women's health care. So things like that. But again, it's art, and art is a medium in which we express ourselves. And to claim that something or an entity like the MQG has a political motive just because the judges found value in some of those quilts, I think is short-sighted, and I think it's, I don't know, it's a way to pass off your own discomfort on someone else instead of looking inward and trying to understand why it made you uncomfortable in the first place. So all, like, art isn't comfortable all the time. It's meant to stir emotion, and it's meant to stir thoughts, and a person's inability to be a critical thinker or to understand why they are feeling the certain way about something they see, like, that's not the artist's fault. That's not the Modern Quilt Guild's fault. So yeah, I think that's where my disappointment was. It was in just hearing the kind of snarky and negative comments about things that obviously for me, they touched me in a way that made me feel defensive about it. So, and again, that's my thing. Like, I'm obviously dealing with my own stuff enough that those stirred emotions in me, but I took responsibility for that. Like, those are my feelings. It's not the artist's issue. It's not QuiltCon's issue. It's not anybody else's issue. They're my feelings. I own them, and that's it. Like, I don't know. Anyway, so I guess, like, can't be completely insulated from things that are uncomfortable, but it was great to see all the work. It was beautiful to see all the quilts. I loved seeing so many people that I have interviewed here on the show or just know, that had quilts in the show. That was really fun to see them in person and get to admire them, not just over Instagram or the internet, but to get it, to see it hanging in such an epic place was just felt magical. So that did kind of make up for it mostly, but anyway, yeah, I think, and then once we finished looking through the quilts, we just hung around for a little bit longer. We went back to some booths that we wanted to check out. We went and found Lisa's booth at, she's Lovering Quilt Co. if you don't know her yet, but we bought a few things like Starry and we both, mom and I, got shirts, the spirit jerseys. I got the purple one that says Quilter across the back, and she got the pink one that says something like, I don't know, something about needle and thread. I can't remember the exact saying, but anyway, it's so cute and they're so cozy, and that was a good purchase. But anyway, and then I finally got to take a picture with Holly Clark from Hold My Seam Ripper. She and I kept running into each other, but like didn't take a picture. And so there was a moment when we were crossing paths that morning, and I was like, okay, if I wasn't in a hurry to get somewhere else, like, or she was in a hurry to get somewhere else, I don't know. But I was like, we're going to take a picture when we see each other later because we're going to bump into each other again. She was like, right, you got it. So we finally took a picture together. And then I met Mixed Domestic, and because they were there for Spoonflower and demonstrating continuous bias binding. So how to use a fat quarter and sew it into a loop and cut it to make a continuous piece of binding so that you don't have to like cut it apart and sew it in strips. So meeting them was amazing. If you've followed their journey, it's been one of redemption or rebirth or something, but just seeing Matthew in person cannot even explain. Like, it's evident in the content that they're putting out, but seeing them in person, like, it's just, I don't know. It was just lovely. So thank you, Matthew, for taking a picture with me and for the amazing hug. I don't think there's another hug out there like yours. So I really appreciated that. But anyway, we didn't really have anything else going on that night. So after we looked at the show and kind of said hello and goodbye to some people, we went and grabbed some dinner and then headed back to our hotel again so we could kind of get packed up and get ready to leave the next morning. But like I said, overall, my experience was great. I'm definitely looking forward to going next year to Phoenix and reconnecting with people, making more connections with more people, and hopefully some of my besties will come with me. I'm still processing some of what I experienced and trying to just let it all absorb in, because like I said, so much stuff happened and it was kind of overwhelming that I have kind of like spotty memories about it, but at the same time, like, it's something I won't ever forget. So, yeah, I think that's it. If you have any questions for me about QuiltCon or anything you want me to dive into more, on like a more individual basis or on a one-on-one basis, feel free to leave a comment in YouTube or to come into Instagram and DM me. I'm happy to talk about whatever. I don't want to ramble too much on here because I think that gets annoying to listen to. So anyway, I love you all. Thank you so much for being here. And to those of you who I met at QuiltCon, new friends or old, I cherished every moment with you and I can't wait to do it again next year. So this is me signing off, and we will be back next week with the very special Janice of Prairie and Ocean. So get ready to listen to her and talk about her quilting journey and her scientific process brain of approaching quilting. So anyway, we'll see you guys around, and thank you for being here, and I love you, and we'll see you next time. Bye.